Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. Though you may not realize that the ongoing threat of terrorism is affecting your life and that of your loved ones. Each week, Dr. Carol analyzes the hottest topics in terror and helps you and your family reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror.
Paris is burning, and so will we. Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm your terrorist therapist, Dr. Carol Lieberman, a psychiatrist and one who has been analyzing terrorism since 9/11 and doing this podcast since almost as far back as that. And I was just thinking today about how it used to be that there would be one main topic, you know, one terror attack here or a terror attack there, or some other issue in terrorism. And now there are just so many terror attacks, so many issues having to do with terrorism, so much terrorists. Terrorists are taking over the world. I mean, that's basically it. Nobody wants to admit that, acknowledge that, especially in America, but that is what is happening. So today, as I was preparing, doing research, finding things, and there was a ton of things to talk about already, just before we started to record this, lo and behold, the elections in Paris came in, the second round, and there are now riots in Paris. And so I'm going to talk about that first. And that is something that actually affects all of us, because the chaos, I mean, if you go on the online, which you probably have already, and looked at the videos of what is happening, you know, it is chaos. It is rage. It's rageful chaos. Now, what started all this is there was an election for the Parliament of Europe, and a lot of right-wing conservative people were from various countries in the European Union were elected. And that made some of the leaders of these countries nervous. And particularly it made President Macron in France nervous. So he wanted to have a kind of a vote of confidence in him. And he made a very rash decision. You should never make decisions when you're feeling especially stressed or pressured or upset. That never comes out well. And so he made this rash decision to call for a snap election, that's what it was called, to see how the seats in France, in the French Parliament, would be divided. And of course, he was hoping that he and his party would get the majority of seats, and then he could feel comfortable that, you know, maybe there are some tendencies towards more conservative people to be elected in other countries, but in France, they all love him. That's what he wanted to see. That's not what he got. And let me just take a little pause for a minute. I lived in Paris for almost 4 years. I loved it. It was amazing. And I've been to Paris a gazillion times before, after that. And so I love Paris. I mean, I love Paris in the No, seriously, I love Paris. So when I see these kinds of riots and so on, actually, it's not just today. When I've been watching closely what has been happening to Paris over the last, well, it's actually it started happening even when I was there some years ago, and that was the beginnings of it, the beginnings of migrants coming to Paris, coming to France. And now, of course, it has, you know, it has ballooned, multiplied, and there have been numerous terrorist attacks in Paris because of these migrants coming from radical Islamist countries. And when they come to France, just like when they come to Germany and England and all the other countries in Europe and wherever in America, we're going to see that. That's going to be a future podcast. You know, but I hope Americans want the point I want to make today, besides talking about France and some other issues, I want to talk about the things that some very frightening things that are showing that the terrorists have are multiplying and taking over the world, which is what which is what their the global jihad was all about. That was what they planned. It was not about Israel. It was about and Jews. That was the first, supposed to be the first, you know, people in place to conquer. But it has always been about global jihad. And if you don't believe me, then Google the son of the founder of Hamas, who has been speaking out. He left Hamas, you know, years ago. And he is speaking out to try to tell people how what Hamas really wants and what terrorists really want, which is global jihad. Now, he obviously is seeming more and more frustrated, and I'm more frustrated because ever since I became the terrorist therapist, which was after, right after 9/11, and made this podcast and wrote two books on terrorism and so on and so forth, I have been trying to warn people that it's not about 9/11. That's not the only thing that terrorists are planning on doing, that it is global jihad. And it has been incredibly frustrating and upsetting to me that people still don't want to believe that. But maybe with what's happening in Paris now, that will wake people up because we are on the brink of that. So let me go back to tell you a little bit more about the election in France. First of all, originally it seemed as though Marine Le Pen, who was the is the leader of the far right party called the National Front. She's the founder of that, and there it was thought that she would win, that her party would get the most seats in parliament in France. And which was very, very encouraging kind of thought and a reasonable thought since this had just happened in the European elections in terms of parliament. And there it seemed like there would be finally hope for France, which has been take has more radical Islamist terrorists, more migrants, more Islamist migrants than any other country in Europe. Of course, England, UK, and Belgium and Germany are not far behind. But so the idea that here was finally somebody who was had a chance to win more seats, the most seats, a majority of seats, and who would do something about this flood of migrants that Macron, I mean, that's why people were so angry. And that's why this is why they were voting in conservative people in the European Parliament, because it's enough. They've had enough. They're mad as hell and they don't want to have this happen anymore. So because these migrants are coming in, they are not adopting to the culture of the countries in Europe that they are invading, but rather they are making, in fact, no-go zones where they continue to have their culture, but in some, which is fine in some ways, but not in the ways where they feel entitled and they feel aggressive and they're violent. And they have no-go areas where police and, of course, people like French people, for example, in France, aren't supposed to go in these areas that they have taken over in France. And they come with, I mean, let's not pussyfoot. I mean, they come with very violent, there's, for example, there are a lot of rapes of women, rapes of children, because in their countries where they come from, that is not frowned upon. In fact, it is allowed, it is authorized, it is accepted by some of their teachings that if that the, that it is okay to do this. And so there have been numerous rapes of not only adult women and men for that matter too, but especially women and children. And so that's an example of some of the customs that they bring with them that are not okay, not they're crimes. And so anyhow, okay, so Marine Le Pen, it seemed like she was going to win, her party was going to win more seats, the National Front, and they did win in the first round, but now the left wing parties formed were so angry that she won and so frightened that she might win in the next round, this round that just ended, the second round, that they formed coalition. They combined left wing parties combined with each other to make a stronger party, one to run against her. And of course, they were also running against Emmanuel Macron's party, his centrist party. So when the now the this new left party is called the New Popular Front. New Popular Front, yes. It was formed last month and it brought together socialists, Greens, communists, and the hard left into one camp. And the leader of this now new popular front is a man called Jean-Luc Mélenchon. And he wooed the people, wooed the votes by promising promised them everything, promising them things that they would want, the public, so things that they would want, like he promised to increase public spending by at least 150 billion francs. Now, where he's going to get that money? Well, he's claiming to get that money within the next 5 years. He's claiming to get that money by increasing taxes. Now, obviously, he would not be increasing taxes from the people, from the people, the majority of the people who would be voting for him. It would be from the, top rich people. He also promised to raise the minimum wage by 14%. He promised to introduce a ban on price increases of essential goods and to reduce the state pension age from 64 to 60. Now, I remember when I was there, the pension age was an issue, even when I was there, that people wanted to reduce it. Now, you do see where all of this is coming. I mean, basically, it's all things to give. Well, yes, it's socialist communist, like duh. Of course, it's to make it easier for people who don't want to work to get money from the state, from the, and so of course he won. Unfortunately, he is also anti-Semitic, which goes along with the left and goes along with communist and socialist and so all he was able to coalesce all these people who don't want to work, who want to, sit home and get money, be anti-Semitic. I'm really worried for the, there's been a lot of anti-Semitism in France as it was, and even when I was there back then, and it's kind of increased since then. And now, if this party stays, having the majority or gets the majority, it's not 100% yet. The final results aren't quite in, but they certainly, this far left party, the New Popular Front won this last this second round. So now the thing also what's interesting Oh, I'm heart sick. I mean, I've been watching videos of what's happening in France, and I am just heart sick and sick to my stomach as well. I mean, it is just destroy they are just destroying France. So the question was, well, it was understandable that they would riot when after the first round, when Marine Le Pen won, her party won more seats. But so now they're asking, well, why are they rioting now? They won. Well, they're rioting now because they feel as though they are in, it's a celebration riot now. Before it was an angry riot. I mean, it's still kind of angry, but angry against the people who didn't vote for them, or but it's a combination of celebration that they won, but also a hatred, a hatred towards France, towards the French people, and which is sick. Oh, anyhow, so and another part of this is, let me tell you what I tweeted when this all went down just a little while ago. I tweeted, oh, way to go. I tweeted, France just committed suicide. Majority vote went left, which means more Islamist migrants. Marine Le Pen almost won. Macron's tête, her head, is spinning. Where goes France? There goes Europe. Mon Dieu. Plus, now more risk of terror attacks at Olympics. And then I put an emoji with a tear, the French flag, and RIP, rest in peace. Now, why should we care? If you're listening to this and you don't live in France, why should you care? Well, the reason why you should care is because this is not a one-off. This is not something that is just going to be unique to France. The problem is in America and in other countries, the Islamists are coming in bigger numbers and are taking control of are getting are you know after 9/11, I immersed myself in all kinds of research and all kinds of conferences and so on having to do with terrorism. And I remember back then, that was in 2001, that the people who were experts, top experts in terrorism were saying, what they're going to be doing now, what terrorists are going to be doing now. Okay, they did 9/11. They are, of course, they're going to be doing global jihad, but the way that they're going to be doing it is not just with attacks, but also by insinuating themselves into government, into schools, into finance, in other words, into all the main parts of civilization. And so that in they would gradually have over the years get higher and higher positions in these fields. And that would put them in a position to, to take over the country, basically. Now, I mean, I'm being may perhaps it's I'm sure it sounds like I'm exaggerating, but in fact, if you look at, and I'm going to be talking about some of these things, if you look at what's been happening, let's take schools for example, and I'm going to give you some examples of schools where they have become t teachers. Some of the teachers, I'm not saying all teachers are radical Islamists, but they have become, there are certainly some, they have insinuated themselves into a number of enough schools so that we have what we have. Where do you think the college protests came from? It didn't like come, just come about it didn't just spring up from nothing. It was from years and years of being in elementary school and having teachers teaching them about American history, that's really, wrong history, their own version of history, and so on. And then elementary school, and then through middle school, high school, and college. So that's just one example. Now we have another example, and I'm going to give you some specific examples of this, where they have in government, they have gotten higher and higher positions in government, and which then allows them to determine a lot of things. So this is very scary. I'm not gonna, I don't want to, it's not like I don't want to, I'm not trying to scare you to go under your covers and not come out, but I am trying to scare you to wake up. We here in America and in these other countries as well. I mean, England is in deep. England is probably, well, it's Germany is really in bad shape too, but England is really in bad shape. And they just had an election, and the left party won there too. And I mean, it wasn't exactly the same thing, but they're being overrun by Islamist migrants. And so it is, we have to wake up to this and start fighting back. And I don't mean physically, I don't mean with violence, but we have to take back our countries, whether it's America or the UK or Germany or wherever it is, we have to take back our countries and our democratic way of life and our culture. France has this amazing culture. There was there one of the things they're so proud of their culture, the language, the cooking, the food, the history, the interior decorating, the buildings, the architect, I mean so much, the museums, just so much that they were so proud of, that I'm sure they are still proud of, but they're not protecting it enough. And they should be the, I talk about Israel being the canary in the coal mine. This is another kind of canary when we saw, when we're seeing what is happening to France. All these wonderful things in their culture are being destroyed by people who come from different cultures that are much, much less refined, shall we say. And I'm sorry if this offends some people, but it com also comes from a culture. The primary problem is it comes from a culture where they believe in their God, and that anybody else who doesn't believe in Allah are infidels and need to be killed, and the country needs to go under Sharia law. I mean, that trumps museums. That's a little more serious than museums. So we have to look at this. I hope, I mean, I'm sure in mainstream media in America, they are not going to be going into as much detail and showing these things, the riots as much. I mean, there was a riot. There were riots in France not that long ago. I did a podcast on it, maybe a year ago or something like that, where there was an incident where a migrant boy, teenager, got stopped by a policeman for going through a red light or something, and that lit the flame of radical Islamists rioting in France. You may remember this. It was, I don't even, it's a year or two or three. My sense of time isn't that great. But that just set the country off because they thought that this policeman, because the policeman had a gun, and the boy stepped on the gas, and so it kind of made the gun went off. I mean, the policeman wasn't trying to shoot the boy, but at the same time, the boy was trying to run over the policeman. Anyway, it was a whole, the description kind of got very vague, but that set France off, and now it's of course a lot worse. So I'm going to stop here. And when we come back, I will talk about some of the examples of what I was alluding to, all things that are happening all over the place in various countries that show that radical Islamists are gaining power all over, and we need to protect each person, each country needs to protect itself. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show, where we're talking about Paris is burning, and so will we. I mentioned that Paris started burning right before I started to record this, and something else happened right before, but not as spectacular, and I don't mean that in a good way. Not as devastating, I guess, as the Paris riots. But it's not just Paris, it's France. But anyhow, what also happened today was that, or this weekend, was that in Pennsylvania, there was a bomb threat at the state capitol. Now, and the state capitol was evacuated. Someone made this threat, and they said that they were going to set off highly lethal devices in the Capitol until Biden publicly denounced Israel. And he said he was going to be staying in the building in the state Capitol, and he was, you know, presumably planning to die there as a martyr. Now, so far, they evacuated the state Capitol and they've been searching it and so on. So far, they haven't found the so-called highly lethal devices or the highly lethal terrorist, but they're still looking. All right, so I said I am going to talk about some examples of some of the really bad things that are going on all over the world that are examples of terrorists becoming more, I guess, more sure of themselves, more cocky. Nothing worse than a cocky terrorist. And part of it is, of course, from Hamas having invaded Israel on October 7th in a barbaric way and raping women, killing people, torturing people, taking off body parts, and in a frenzy, they were able to do this. You know, the reason why, I mean, people were so shocked at how cruel the things were that they did. And the reason why they were able to be so cruel beyond what has happened in recent times, I mean, in modern civilization, is because they were driven by a religious fervor. They wanted to go to heaven if they died. Some of them did. Some of the Hamas terrorists and the people who came with Hamas into Israel. They wanted to be granted favors in the afterlife by Allah, and this religious fervor, this, you know, idea that they're doing it for Allah and all their, you know, radical Islamist teachings and so on, gave them the power, gave them this frenzy, this furor, to be able to act out in such a barbaric way, which is beyond what any, you know, World War I, World War II, any of the wars of modern civilization. So that gave other terrorists the feeling that, wow, you know, I could do this too. It excited them. Propelled them to do things more outrageous things, more radical things, more violent things than they had done before. So I'm going to give you some examples of what their newfound power has had them do. Now, here's sort of a major one. U.S. military bases in Europe were put on high alert over a possible Islamic terrorist threat. Several U.S. military bases in Europe went on high alert because of a possible terror attack on the bases that could target American personnel and the bases, of course. And it's the second highest state of alarm. And I'll tell you what these states are. And people, an American official at one of the bases said they hadn't seen that level in at least a decade. In other words, the terrorist alert never went as high as this in over a decade. So in Stuttgart, Germany, where the U.S. Europe Command has its headquarters. That was one of the many bases that raised its status to the alert level. It's called Force Protection Condition Charlie. Now, so it's the lowest level is Force Protection Condition. They're all Force Protection Condition. So there's Normal, there's Alpha, then Bravo, then Charlie, and then worse than that is Delta. So Charlie applies when an incident occurs or intelligence is received indicating some form of terrorist action or targeting against personnel or facilities, and that is likely. Now, before raising the terrorist threat condition, there are various considerations that the army bases have to make. You know, what impact is this going to have? And so for Charlie, the considerations are implementation of Charlie measures will create hardship and affect the activities of the unit and its personnel. Now, there were also this also this alert also was taken or brought to bear not only Germany, it also Italy, Romania, and Bulgaria. And now part of why this was raised was because of the ongoing European football championships in Germany. They were alert, they were worried about there. There were 580 international police officers in Germany for that. And then France, of course, is expected to have possibly, and now it's more possible, through the Olympics, they're expecting terror attacks. And in fact, in May, an 18-year-old Chechen man was charged with plotting to target spectators attending soccer games during the Olympics, hoping to, quote, die and become a martyr. So these things are very real. Okay. Then in here's one. In London, London has a Muslim mayor, and actually lots of cities, and there are lots of political positions in the UK that are now held by Muslims. Not all terrorists are Muslims. Not all Muslims are radical Islamists, but at the same time, this certainly goes with what I was told was going to happen right after 9/11, working their way up through the system in all these different areas. Now, so in London, the Muslim mayor, Khan, Sadiq Khan, he is being accused of hating England. He's been accused of that for numerous things that he has done. He really has destroyed London, let's be honest. And so he has said the latest thing that he did was to ban taxi drivers from flying the English flag. Hello? What? Now, the excuse for this was that. Well, he is the chair of the Transport for London, so he is able to, determine that. And he warned the city's 125,000 cab drivers that they will face stiff penalties, including the loss of their black cab licenses, if they fly the Cross of St. George in their vehicles, the British flag. Now, the excuse for that was that they could distract drivers and other road users. There are so it's being said that soon the English flag will bear the Shahada or Shahida. And that one they'll be able to fly if they want. And that's the Shahida is the symbol of the Islamic oath, which is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Now, what does this remind you of? It reminds me of July 4th that we just had, where pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas protesters showed their true colors by burning and destroying the American flags. I mean, I don't know what could be, I don't know what could be, how they could make it more obvious that this is about destroying America. It is not just about Palestine as if there are Palestinians, so-called Palestinians. It's about hating America. It's about wanting to destroy America. I mean, it's right. Everybody, we all in America and all over the globe, but let's just say Americans saw this on July 4th, saw on television, on the internet. They saw these people, these protesters, destroying the flags, burning the American flag right in front of them. They saw this. Now, I don't know what more. I don't know why I think I'm going to be able to convince people that the terrorists are coming to America, when if people aren't going to believe their eyes seeing these protesters, which who are really, these are American terrorists. They are not just protesters. I don't want to call them protesters anymore. They are American terrorists. I mean, some of them aren't, native born Americans, but in fact, they come from the Middle East, quite a number of them. But they are American terrorists because they hate America and they want to destroy America. So, I mean, I hope, I hope people have been thinking about that when they saw all of this. I mean, it's a lot to take in. Nobody wants to believe that such, I mean, really, we are on the verge, it will be awful in many ways, but the particularly awful because people could have protected themselves against this by closing the southern border, for example. But what happened in Israel, where terrorists came from Gaza into Israel at the site of the music festival, for starters, but then of course went further into Israel. But that, do you think that that couldn't happen at our southern border? What is stopping that? There are not enough ICE, enough people who are supposed to be the border patrol. I mean, it's their border patrol is I admire anybody who does that. It's kind of like being a policeman. I admire anybody who takes the job of policeman. It is such a change. Both of those are such dangerous jobs these days. It didn't used to be. It used to be where Mr. Po Nice Policeman would come to your elementary school and talk to you about crossing the street safely or whatever they were talking to you about. But they were Mr. Nice Policeman. And now there are so many people here in America who have been driven to hate, to attack police, to kill police. And same thing is happening at the border. These men are in the border patrol, and I'm sure there are some women too, or I think there are some women too. I don't mean to sound sexist, but they are putting their life at risk every day. And so the fact that there could be the same kind of thing, for that matter, it could come from the northern border too. The same, or it could come from, we're having ships coming. I live in California now. I was born and bred in New York, which is why I feel so passionate about terrorism after 9/11. But I live in California now, and there are reports upon reports of boats docking, coming from Mexico, or coming from, well, I guess this from Mexico. I mean, they come from all over, and then they go to Mexico, and then they come here. And there are people now, there are boats dropping people off. No one knows who these people are. I mean, nobody protects. Nobody's when they dock on the beach, nobody's there to check their ID or ask them if they're a terrorist. There have been, I mean, I've been talking about this for years. There have been terrorists coming across the border before, but I mean, nothing like what it's like now. There is just such a flood. But so it could happen in the same way as it happened in Israel. That all of a sudden, a significant number of them, I mean, even the ones who come across in the boat, some of them have like 20 people, or it doesn't have to be even 10 people, that could have quite an effect if they go to the houses on the beach and so on. I mean, we're not protected. Okay, so now in Los talking about California, in Los Angeles, it's happening all over, but I'll give you the example of Los Angeles. There were dozens of masked, violent pro-Hamas thugs who targeted a synagogue. Actually, several synagogues in Los Angeles have been targeted, and they terrorized the Jews there. There were several dozen pro-Hamas terrorist supporters, and they targeted an Orthodox Jewish synagogue in the heart of the heavily Jewish Pico Robertson neighborhood. I've been to a synagogue in that neighborhood. I mean, I'm sure it was probably that one. And they blocked the entrance to the synagogue because the synagogue was having an event w which was about investing in real estate in Israel. So they didn't want people to invest in real estate in Israel. Plus, they just want to promote hatred towards Jews. So they were standing outside the synagogue and attacking people so that the people couldn't go in. This was just like a pogrom. And there are other, this is happening, it's not just to this temple, but this is happening in general. I'm sure you've read, saw in stories about people being attacked by these pro-Hamas American terrorists who are particularly targeting Jews. Now, a pogrom, I learned about pogroms. You may well know, I mean, people know about pogroms. A pogrom is when there is a violent riot. And it is organized to either massacre Jews or to expel Jews from a particular place. So, for example, this happened in Russia, it happened in Spain and Portugal, years ago, over at different times in history. And so, but when I learned about this in Sunday school at my synagogue, in New York, and this was something that seemed like, oh, this happened in, I don't remember the years, but like this happened in the 10th century or the 14th century or whatever it was. It was like, oh, that's interesting. That's really sad. That's terrible. But that's not going to happen again. And now we're seeing it. We're having pogroms. It's not just something to read about in a history book. And then, of course, the worst part of this is that it took the police forever to come to this synagogue, even though people were getting injured. They were attacking Jews, and the police stood around to the when they finally did get there, they stood around, and it took forever for them to do anything. And they didn't actually even they arrested some people, but nobody actually, went to jail or for any amount of time. Then, let's see. Oh, there's so much stuff. Then there's a high school in Chicago that published a yearbook that included an entry that was praising the October 7th Hamas massacre. This girl, Yasmin Sali, used the this, it was Glenbrook South High School in their yearbook. She praised Hamas terrorists, for October 7th, and it got published in the yearbook. And of course, needless to say, once the yearbook came out, the parents were really angry. And she wrote, let's see, she wrote, "The first day I woke up and I saw what Palestine did, and I was happy because they're finally defending themselves." I mean, what a warped view of history. That is not the truth. That is not how it happened. So she said that she was happy that Hamas fighters raped, mutilated, tortured, murdered, and kidnapped Israelis. So parents complained, and but it was already out there. This was Glenbrook South High School. And then there are more stories about in Australia. It's all over the place. In Australia, a bakery promoted Hamas terrorist-themed birthday cakes for children. They had all, pictures related to Hamas and the Palestine flag and so on. And there was a public backlash that caused the bakery to shut down its website, but it didn't shut down its sale of Islamic terrorist goodies. Now here's one. I want to make sure. Let me see this. Maybe I, well, let's see. Let me just do one more and then I'll, in the next segment, I'll tell you about something else. Yeah, I'll save two of these. Okay. Let me just tell you about, this is kind of interesting. Talk about how people don't recognize the danger that's in front of them, or are so ignorant about what terrorism is and what terrorists want. And there's perhaps, well, I don't know if I could say no better example, but certainly a really good example is of the Queers for Palestine. There are so many protesters who are LGBTQ plus, and they're carrying signs, Queers for Palestine or something similar. And surely one would hope that someone tapped them on the shoulder and said, "Hey, do you know that in Palestine or in the Middle East, except for Israel, Israel is tolerant to LGBTQ plus, but in all other Middle Eastern countries, they don't like homosexuals or LGBTQ plus. They would throw you off the roof." And I don't know if anybody has tapped them on the shoulder and said this. They certainly are continuing. There certainly still is Queers for Palestine. But what's interesting is there are people, now, according to Islam, for example, the hadiths, which are the words supposed to be the words of Muhammad, the hadith, a hadith that talks about homosexual activity says, quote, "The messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, whoever you find doing the action of the people of Lot, execute the one who does it and the one to whom it is done." Now, the people of Lot were engaging in all kinds of things, including homosexual behavior. Now here, but here we have, here's an example of an imam who said what Islamists believe. Now this one is an Imam Syed. He said, and this is on tape, I mean it's online on the internet, besides him saying this in his mosque, it was also put online. So he said, "Pride Month celebrates what is shameful. As Muslims, we want nothing to do with the LGBT lifestyle of disgust, evil, deviance, and immorality. We never asked for support from the Alphabet Mafia. If Hamas, and our image, we will never give you our support. Leave us and our children alone." He's saying, so then there are some, he admitted that there were some Muslim figureheads, he called them, who have allied with this Alphabet Mafia, LGBTQ plus. But he wants, this is the King Fahad Mosque in California, Culver City, California. And it was streamed on YouTube. He said, they show, oh, we're talking about Pride Month. They show how proud they are to live an immoral lifestyle. It is something to be ashamed of, but rather they are proud of it and flaunt it openly. So much damage has been done by the alliances. And then the more irony, there was the Pride Parade in New York. There were various Pride parades, but as an example, the one in New York City, there were pro-Hamas protesters who destroyed floats at the Pride Parade and blocked the parade itself. Even some of them were even Queers for Palestine. So even Queers for Palestine tried to ruin the LGBTQ plus Pride Parade. I mean, none of this makes sense. Okay. Well, I think yes, this is what the imam said. He said, "We don't want your support. We don't need your support, and we will never give you our support. Stay away from us and our children." Now, are the Queers for Palestine aware of this? All right. Well, we'll stop here, and in the next segment, I'll tell you a couple of more examples of how powerful radical Islamists have become, and then I will tell you some positive. Try to end on a positive note. And talk about some of the things that are being done to fight back. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show. We're talking today about Paris is burning, and so will we. Now, I may have given you indigestion or something, or put you into a panic attack so far. I don't want to do that, of course, but I only want to get you to wake up to some of the things that are going on, and to, the Paris is burning is certainly certainly something that is very very overwhelming, very very shocking. I think for some people, I mean, obviously what happened in Israel was a lot worse than what happened in Paris, but what's the difference is, well, I mean, it is. I think some people can, people in America, in any case, can perhaps relate more to what's happening in Paris, just because they may well have been there, visited there, and just what happens in Europe, not just Paris, but maybe easier to relate to, but it's closer to home. So I hope that that kind of really wakes people up. If Israel didn't do enough to wake you up. All right, so I just wanted to finish with a couple more examples of how Islamists have insinuated themselves into our society. And are really having a horrible impact. So, for example, this one really got to me. This just happened a couple of days ago, okay, it's New Jersey School District apologizes for enraging Muslims by calling ISIS a terror group. Now, one would think, especially in New Jersey, which was just right across from the Twin Towers, they were impacted by 9/11, not quite as much as New Yorkers, but they were, and they could see it. And so you wouldn't imagine that someone would have to tell the head of the school district that that ISIS is a terrorist organization, or that Al Qaeda is, or any of the other ones. But this man did not want to anger the teachers at his school, who got angry at what happened. There was an exam. I'm kind of let me explain it better. There was an exam, and the one of the questions on the exam related to ISIS, and so and the answer was that it was a terrorist group. Kind of an easy question, but this got some teachers angry. Now, apparently, there is a group called Teaching While Muslim. That's like, after the Driving While Black, the point is that, trying to m make a point about prejudice. And so this group, Teaching While Muslim, became enraged at this question, well, at the answer to the question that ISIS is a terrorist group. So although if ISIS isn't a terrorist group, what is it? So they were calling Islamophobia, of course, if you, God forbid, you Say anything like that. I mean, have a question like that, or do anything. Right away, you're called an Islamophobe, and the this was school was it's called Schuyler Colfax Middle School, and it's in Wayne, New Jersey. And so when this Teaching While Muslim group, they made themselves known, they rose up against this question. And this man who is he is the school's Wayne Township Public School superintendent apologized. Can you imagine this? This is someone who is who has a relatively high position in the school system, and he's apologizing for a question which acknowledges that ISIS is a terrorist group. I mean, if you're not going to teach kids that ISIS is a terrorist group, they're going to be pretty shocked when ISIS attacks. And because there are going to be terrorist attacks in America, this is we are building to this. And I would not be surprised if this these riots in France provoke the American terror, the terror attacks in America to happen even sooner. But in any case, these kids are going to find out sooner or later that ISIS is a terrorist group. In fact, America has lists ISIS on its terrorist list. So, so let's see. So, but the New Jersey school district apologized for offending a Muslim activist group, this Teaching While Muslim, for this quiz question. And they said that they expressed regret over an, quote, inappropriate question that was asked during a test. The question, quote, they said, they wrote, quote, the question was offensive and contrary to our values of respect, inclusivity, and cultural sensitivity. this Teaching While Muslim is a network of Muslim educators that confronts, quote, discrimination, implicit bias, and institutional racism against Muslims in public schools. This was for a seventh grade test. The question was, quote, it is a terrorist organization that commits acts of violence, destroys cultural artifacts, and encourages loss of life in order to achieve its goal of global rule under strict Islamic Sharia law. And they were supposed to choose, it was a multiple choice question. They were supposed to choose from the Shining Path, Al Qaeda, Islamic State, and the Palestinian Liberation Organization. Now, the answer was supposed to be Islamic State, which I don't quite understand because Al Qaeda is also a terrorist organization that commits acts of violence like 9/11, destroys cultural artifacts, and encourages loss of life in order to achieve its goal of global rule under strict Islamic Sharia law. So, I don't get that, why that wasn't also the right answer. Let's see. So the teacher, I mean the here it was the superintendent was Dr. Mark Do Toback, TOBACK. I am going to be sending him my book. I mean, one of the reasons why this really infuriates me is that my book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror, is for families and teachers. And obviously, I probably should also send it to the head of this Teaching While Muslim group as well, although they would have a fit. let's see. The Islamic State has been designated by the US federal government as a foreign terrorist organization. So that was the right answer. And this superintendent should not be apologizing for it. Okay, then last but not least, in terms of things that bad things that radical Islamists do, there is a new, they want to always do more. They don't want to what? They don't want to get boring, right? So they're always trying to find new ways to commit terror. And for example, they had they were they like they need something new beyond suicide donkeys, burning people alive in cages, beheading multiple people on video. And if you just keep doing the same things over and over again, they're not quite as terrorizing. So they came up with a new thing, the first suicide baby. Now, in Nigeria, there is a terrorist group, an Islamist group called Boko Haram. And Boko Haram, I mean, you may remember that a few years back there was, you never really hear much about them in the mainstream media. But I think one of the biggest things, reasons why we heard about them was a few years back when they captured some girls from an all-girls school in Nigeria. But they're attacking people in Nigeria all the time, and including like churches, pastors, just people who aren't terrorists. And but in this example, the first suicide baby, there was a woman. So Boko Haram has been terrorizing Nigeria for more than 10 years. And in this example, a woman came into a wedding with a baby strapped on her back, a real baby, a live baby, presumably her baby. And she detonated her explosive vest, her IED, her improvised explosive device, that she had on her at a crowded motor park. One, let's see, I guess it's two different situations. One did it in the middle of a wedding ceremony, or maybe the wedding ceremony was in the middle of a crowded motor park. In any case, this was the first suicide baby. And so they were asked, what the Islamic position is on killing babies. And apparently the rule is that the baby can be killed at any time as long as, one, it isn't Muslim, and two, it's being used to kill non-Muslims. So the question is, when will suicide babies come to America? And that all depends upon the rate of migration from radical Islamist countries. Okay, now what we can do, we need to fight back. I'm not talking about violence. There are other ways of fighting back. We need to protect our culture, just like the people in France should have protected their French culture. And the people in other countries in Europe should have been caring more about protecting their culture than about, letting migrants come in from countries that have very different values than they did. Okay, one way, here's a good example of fighting back. In New York, there is a face mask ban. They finally made a face mask ban on New York City subways. And the pro-Hamas terrorist supporters are outraged. But there have been a lot of things, I'm sure you probably know, there have been a lot of things happening in the New York subways. I mean, there was particularly ever since October 7th, where these protesters, anti-American protesters, think that they can, and well, anti-Jewish, anti-Israel, etc., think that they can take advantage. There have always been problems in the subway, but it's heightened. It's increased a lot. particularly because of these protesters. But it's the subways are a very good place if you're violent, if you have bad intentions. It's a good place to carry out your attacks, because when you're on the subway, you're in this darkness, and a lot of it, the time is in between stations, so you can do a lot of damage while the train car is going from station to station. So they finally, so a lot of things have been happening, a lot of horrible incidents have been happening. And of course, whether it's on college campuses, they were wearing a lot of masks on college campuses as well. And why? Because the same reason why bank robbers wear masks, it's to hide their identity. I mean, it's not about COVID anymore. Not that masks ever really worked with COVID either, but the masks are to hide their identity, because people with cameras, with phones, are taking pictures and they don't want to be caught. So they've been protesting against this ban, but the governor, she finally did something good. And she, on June 13th, I think the final straw was that there was this incident where masked anti-Israel protesters challenged subway passengers. This one guy in particular, but he was with a group of protesters, and he said, "Raise your hand if you're a Zionist. This is your chance to get out." So no one responded, and the man said, "Okay, no Zionists here. We're good." So I think, there have been lots of horrible things, anti-Semitic things and just violent things and so on. And so she finally said, "We will not tolerate individuals using masks to evade responsibility for criminal or threatening behavior. On the subway, people should not be able to hide behind a mask and commit crimes." But of course, the protesters are not happy with that. And so they're claiming that this is an infringement on the rights, on their rights. And we're not going to stand idly by and watch. Also, they're claiming that, this is like a state of surveillance. Yes, indeed, to see who the people are who are creating these problems. Okay, so that's one way of fighting back. Another example is Israeli October 7th victims are suing UNRWA, the United Nations, for, quote, playing a key role, unquote, in the October 7th attacks. Now, as you may know, I think I've talked about this too before, that the UN, I mean, the UN is very anti-Israel, anti-Semitic, and they have been helping the Hamas and just terrorists in general. And we, it is supported, just like the UN is supported by America and European countries. Like, America pays the most. The United States, Germany, the EU, and France were the largest governmental donors, and they contributed 56% of the agency's overall funding. And we're talking about, in 2023, 42% of their total pledges, which it was $1.46 billion, and it came from EU member states. Anyhow, and so, when some things have been unveiled recently, America, the US started, has held off on its donations. They, let's see. So they, so these 100, these Israeli October 7th victims are suing UNRWA, and they filed a lawsuit federal lawsuit on behalf of more than 100 Israeli victims, and it's the UN Relief and Works Agency. And this agency, I mean, it's been proven that they launder billions in donor cash to Hamas. They're supposed to be giving humanitarian aid to Gaza residents, but really they have been helping Hamas. They have people working for them who are Hamas terrorists or other kinds of terrorists. And Israel provided evidence that there were at least a dozen employees who participated in the Hamas terror attack of October 7th. So the United States is the largest donor, and it's contributed upward of $500 million since 2022. I mean, basically, America is funding terrorism, and it's doing that in a number of ways. I've talked about that in prior podcasts. This is the Obama-Biden White House that is funding terrorism. I talked about how they gave money to the Taliban, they give money to Iran, they give money to various terrorist organizations, but they hide it because they give it to a nonprofit that then gives it to the terrorist organization. Another way of fighting back nonviolently is Jewish student sues Harvard University over its refusal to crack down on anti-Semitic, anti-Israel mobs threatening Jewish students. And there were other students who are suing their universities and parents who are suing. Like, for example, at UCLA, there's a parent organization suing UCLA for what the horrors that they did. It has to do with the law saying that colleges must provide for a safe learning environment, including freedom from harassment and religious persecution. So, the part of the problem is that the Islamic State sponsors of terrorism, like Qatar, are donate multi-million dollars. They make multi-million dollar donations. So these schools are beholden to them, and they put these donations, the money, above the safety of the students. So last but not least, let's see. Okay, I'll give you just one more example. In Germany, and I always find it so ironic, but good when Germany does things to try to, against terrorists. So, for example, they are considering a bill, trying to get a bill passed to deport foreigners who glorify terrorism. So the government, German government, agreed to certain measures to make it easier to deport foreigners who glorify acts of terror. And this came about after a surge of online hate posts during the Gaza war. So they could face deportation for, quote, even a single comment that glorifies and condones a terrorist offense on social media. Now, it's a little there. It's a little in some. They're a little. It's a little unclear. In one report, it talks about how, let's see. Oh, we're taking tough action against Islamist and anti-Semitic hate crimes on the internet, which is very cool for Germany to do after what they did with the Holocaust. So there's a question, some disagreement about what the threshold is for deporting foreigners. So in one report, it says the changes would not target those who just made little clicks on social media or simply liked others' posts. But then in another report, it said that you can be deported even if you just like an anti-Semitic or pro-terrorist kind of post. But you know what? They'll get that worked out. And the point is that it's a good plan. They'll get the details worked out, whether it's with the likes or not the likes. Just the fact that they're planning to deport people for hate crimes on social media is great. So, I mean, yes, there is a thin line. You don't want to censor free speech and all of that, but it's really not that hard to tell the difference between hate speech and free speech. All right. Man, There is just so much. It can be overwhelming. I mean, especially what's going on in France. I mean, if you look at the people in the rioting in the streets with fires, of course, and things that are making noises like guns. You know, it's firecrackers or different kinds of devices that are exploding. It is a very dangerous situation. Let's just call it that. And the significance of it is to make us wake up. If nothing else, all my years are trying to warn you. It's not just about 9/11, and it's not just about Israel, not just about Jews. It's about infidels. Infidels are anybody who does not believe in Islamist beliefs. If you, so 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 it could be you. So thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm your terrorist therapist, Dr. Carol Lieberman.
If you would like to find out more about terrorism from me, your terrorist therapist, visit my website, terroristtherapist.com. And if you're a parent or teacher and want to build stronger nests for your kids to become more resilient, check out my new award-winning book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. It's the first and only book about terrorism for kids. You can find it wherever books are sold or directly from the publisher at terrorismforkids.com. Terrorism, the number 4, kids.com. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. We hope listening to the show has made you feel calmer, more resilient, and more able to reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. You can also check out past shows on Renegade Talk Archives for more insights.